Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another week of Gay Screaming. See, we're back this week. We're like the father who says he's gonna go out to the store for some cigarettes and never comes back, except guess what? We came back.
Coming back one time versus the months where we didn't come back, that's what affects the kids at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I would know.
No child left behind.
Oh.
Anyways, unlike last week, let me introduce us.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Charlie, a.k.a. Mystery Terrain, and I'm joined by my very lovely co-host.
I'm Jared, a.k.a. maybe Local Twink for a little while longer.
Oh, we should address that very quickly, because we talked about Twitter a bit last week. What really happened since then? Elon revoked access to, like, almost everyone who works there, like their badges.
Mm-hmm.
So now they can't go in the office, and I think he brought in like his a bunch of like engineers from Tesla to like work on Twitter. But the app is like hanging on by a life string right now.
Even if it doesn't actually like fully end, I plan on getting off it at some point, because in the famous words of artists Guppy and Fraxium, who are some hyperpop gays that I listen to on the Spotify, get your ass off Twitter because it gives you fucking mental illness.
I've already stopped, like, tweeting.
Mm-hmm.
I've still checked it just to see some, like, Pokemon stuff, because I've sent you a lot of, like,
the
glitches and things like that. But
then if you look at the replies, does it still give you mental illness?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. but, like, I'm like, transitioning it out right now.
Oh my god, I'm so proud of you.
We can't just repeat the same joke twice a week. I haven't even gotten the chance to make a Tumblr yet, because last Thursday when everyone was freaking out about Twitter going down, well, because insiders were saying like the internal Twitter app for employees was barely even working, so everyone just kind of thought this was it, which it didn't turn out to be, which, like, okay, sure, eighth time that's happened in the last 3 weeks. But when I tried making a Tumblr, I guess everyone else was trying to make one at that same time, and Tumblr servers just couldn't handle it. So I still need to go back and sign up for Tumblr, but we'll get to that eventually. I think first is the TikTok for this.
Oh.
The TikTok page for our good old
podcast
here.
I totally forgot about that. We just never got that going.
Yeah, I feel like we should now, especially since Twitter is dying.
Yeah, and TikTok, it's really easy to take off on. Not saying that like we have people to take gonna off take or we off. Need to go viral or something, but like
I've give seen us a lot some of viral sound.
Give us a viral sound. I've seen a lot of podcasts pop up on my For You page, and I don't really follow podcasters, so that like goes to show that they can come up if they're just like funny.
Yeah. Exactly.
But yeah, I think Tumblr is kind of a safe backup option for Twitter. I never deleted my Tumblr, so I just like.
Are you still using the same one?
What's up?
Same one?
Yeah, I have the same one. I've had like the same URL for like fucking a decade, basically.
Yeah, it's a classic at this point.
It's a classic, yeah, and it's the same username that I have on everything. So if you ever want to not local twink me, then look at Passion Pick. I'll probably be on whatever website you're checking, including Xbox.
What is including Xbox?
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
What is Mastodon?
Mastodon?
Yeah, that's like another site that I see people like trying
I've
to suggest.
I've heard about it. I think it's a new app. I think it's still really small, so I don't really know much about it. But Mastodon is something to do with an elephant. So I don't know if that's a political thing or.
I don't know. Oh, I did see today, though, as of Sunday, November 20th, Elon is going to unsuspend Donald Trump on Twitter, which, like, that's going to be...
Right in time for his fucking new campaign.
Which, that announcement flopped, anyways.
Yeah. He's a flop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to get off Twitter. More reason to do it. Elon Musk is ridiculous, and now Donald Trump is going to get unbanned.
I think if there's a time to leave, now is the best time.
Absolutely, babes.
To do so. Because, like, even people were putting, like, I told you the other day how people put projectors on the side of the Twitter building being like...
Yeah, I saw the video, too.
Elon Musk is a giant baby who guzzles blood.
I don't know why
guts.
I thought you were going to say cum.
Ugh, no, I don't need that image in my head.
Who guzzles cum.
No! But yeah, down with Elon is all I gotta say. Like, imagine, like, spending your entire fortune on a website and then turning everyone against you.
Literally, it goes to shit in, like, less than a week. Oh, wow.
of course, like, all his dude bros are defending him, but,
like... Oh, yeah, they're literally, like, mother's milk, like, fucking flocking to Elon, being like, please, cool, catchy comeback meme, please, daddy.
I don't know. It's just, like, if this is what you guys need to feel good about yourselves, I guess, but, like, also...
It's also sad.
Yeah.
Like, thirsting after a billionaire's approval so he can, like, reply to your tweet with two words and make you feel like you mean something, like, come on, he's literally... the antithesis of everything that's going to help you in life.
I also haven't done up a lot of reading on it.
Mm-hmm. I don't read. I don't even know what that is.
Oh my god. I mean, like, okay, so serious note for a second.
Yeah.
I haven't, like, read up a lot on, like, the shooting that took place
last night. Oh, I don't know anything about it. I heard about it, but I honestly just genuinely didn't want to
with the gay bar. But, like, libs of TikTok on Twitter was, like, a hand in that, basically posting that place, being, like, they're doing this and this and grooming your children or whatever.
Of course.
And, like, Elon's done nothing to stop it. And, like, it's because of people, like, libs of TikTok that, like, queer people are dying.
Right, right.
You know, and it's just, like, you're allowing actual terrorism on your website. Is that... And he interacts with them now regularly,
too.
Yeah,
of course. Because, like, alt-right people and terrorists and, like, all of that kind of, like, mentality, it's kind of, like, culty, honestly, and, like, Christian nationalism and all that bullshit, it all stems from a place of, like, fostering hate.
Yeah.
And it starts with hate speech, and then it goes, like, into, like, a big discrimination thing because they, like, don't want you to have any sort of rights, they don't want you to have autonomy over yourself, and they think everything you're doing is against God or against some kind of, like, moral structure. So they keep fostering that hate, and they want to, like, turn people against you, and then it becomes... a question of, like, forcibly removing your rights, committing violence against you, and this is just how oppression works in society. So, it's literally happened time and time again with literally every minority in the United States history.
Yeah.
And it's just so funny to me. Not funny, because it's obviously not funny, but it's, like, it just comes across as ridiculous to see people be so hateful on the internet and talk about people like they're not people, and talk about people like they deserve to die or something, yeah. And then be surprised when they actually start getting killed.
Well, it's also just crazy because you had people like Lauren Boebert being like, sending thoughts and prayers when you were the representative of that district,
guess who all encouraging the people, it. Yeah, guess who all the people who are like causing these shootings, who cause all these hate crimes, who all this shit's happening. People like Kyle Rittenhouse, who's like...
They're your stands.
They're your supporters, yeah. They love you because you foster the kind of hate that they thrive on. So it's just crazy. Conservatives are ridiculous and, like, this country's a joke.
Yeah, but...
But that's nothing new. Y'all knew that.
Exactly. So I just, I don't know. After knowing that, especially, I really just do hope Twitter crumbles because we don't need things like libs of TikTok being platformed.
Right. You know, I mean, Kyle Rittenhouse too. He's got a platform. He's verified on Twitter.
Oh yeah, he's verified on Twitter.
And he's like always posting like podcasts. He's meeting with politicians, like doing all this dumb shit. It's like this man murdered two people.
Elon also interacted with him too.
I'm sure.
So like,
but this man murdered two people. That's all he's known for. He went on trial and cried about it. Like he was the victim after he murdered two people.
It's well, remember like George Zimmerman was like celebrity like boxing fights and things like that. Yeah. Like it's no different.
Yeah. It's a cult of personality. It's like as soon as you're out there, no matter how heinous the things you've done are, conservatives will eat you up if you have the same ideology as them.
Yeah, I didn't mean to.
Because they probably want to do the same thing.
Yeah.
They want to fucking go out and murder some gays. They want to go murder some protesters, you know? They're all for that, so.
I didn't mean to take it serious for a second, y'all, but that it just was bothering me because, like, there could be people that could be alive right now, you know? But people's transphobia and homophobia and things like that, it just got in the way of that. And it's just like, who wins in the end?
Yeah, nobody.
Exactly.
Because as soon as those people are, you know, dead and gone, it doesn't stop other gay people from existing. So there's always going to be somebody who's hating somebody else.
Yeah.
Just for, you know, how they act or who they are.
Yeah.
And the cycle continues. More oppression, more violence, more hate.
Yeah. I don't know. Obviously, all my thoughts, not to sound like thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers.
But, like, genuinely, like, my thoughts are with, like, everyone affected.
I donate money, but I can't.
Yeah, I hope. I'm poor. I hope there's, like, an actual good resolution that can come from this.
Mm.
But just knowing this country's history, that's unfortunately.
I mean, just look how long the lists are getting. Every yeah. single time this happens, they posts go around on Twitter, on Facebook, on thoughts every and social media. What's it?
Thoughts and prayers.
Not just thoughts and prayers. Lists of shootings.
Oh, yeah.
People being like, this is the new statistic. Look how many shootings have happened now. Look at the common denominators. Look at all the weapons used. Look at gun violence statistics. Things like that. And the list just keeps getting longer and longer. Because this country, it never stops.
I remember being so affected by Pulse.
Yeah.
You know, in 2016. Yeah. And that's not to say that I'm desensitized to this
Fully. In the sense that, like, I've seen this so much in the news all the time for the last however many years that I've had to desensitize myself not to be so, like, completely, like, emotionally distraught every time it happens.
Yeah.
And it's not a good thing, because no one should be used to seeing shootings that often. No, that's crazy.
I mean, even the other day, Jared and I were just sitting in my room here.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of loud banging outside, like, or popping.
It sounded like an engine or something, but for a while there, like, it genuinely sounded like it could have just been, like,
shooting
shots, you know? And I really just sat there and was just like, this is just normal for us to be like, was that a gun? Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
What? I mean, you guys already know this. This isn't fucking news. I don't know. I think it's sad.
It is sad, yeah.
And my heart really goes out to, like, all of those people. Like I said, like, it's not that I'm not enraged and things like that. It's just, I am, I guess, a little desensitized to this whole situation, but it's very sad.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's keep pressing forward here.
This feels very frivolous, but switching subjects to Pokemon after this, imagine.
I mean, we'll get there after the break, probably.
Are we taking a break right now?
No, we're only like 10 minutes in. First 30 minutes is always just us.
How do you want to fill in this empty this time?
Well, I guess this isn't the best transition either, but like, I didn't even originally intend to like talk about that today. I just it came up in my mind, and
you're
I was just
your spirit.
A little bit.
It's bothering you and your homegirls.
Yeah.
I'm your homegirl.
Yeah. you are. It's hard to get, like, all my, I don't know why my brain barely feels like it's functioning right now in this very moment for, like, the first time today, probably because I've finally.
Yeah.
I don't know. I said what I needed to say. Anyways. Let's just talk about, we're just, like, catching up on some things we touched upon last week. Mm-hmm. Love is Blind reunion.
Yeah, that
came
was,
out. What are your thoughts on, well, first, it was the, spoilers for everyone, but, like.
Oh, yeah, if you haven't seen Love is Blind season 3, watch it. It's worth, like, a, probably, like, what, 7-hour binge? How many episodes was it? No, it was, like, 12.
It was 12 episodes, so.
So 12 hours? Because each one was at least an hour.
An hour?
Yeah. Some of them were longer, like an hour and 12 minutes.
Oh, I guess so. So it's kind of like an all-day commitment.
12 hours, yeah. Well, not straight, but total.
Yeah.
Anyway, we watched that shit.
I think we watched like 5 episodes straight.
Yeah. The reunion episode came out, and that shit was wild. Yeah, and the finale. Because we watched the reunion and finale the same night, right?
Yeah.
I'm glad some of the couples didn't get married.
Very glad.
Again, spoilers for this whole thing, but Cole and Zenib were not compatible literally at all. And then hearing all the shit that Zenib had to say afterwards, bitch, you were about to be in a toxic, abusive marriage.
Well, a couple things on that. A, I'm glad all the girls were, like, teamed up, you know? Yeah. Like, they all were
solidarity
speaking up for Zenib, even Colleen.
Yeah.
Who also, tangent on a tangent.
Blink twice if you need help.
She was just like, I'm so happy right now. I was just like, are you okay? Like, I don't know, because she kind of like made that face throughout the whole season where I'm just kind of like, is that your face, or are you in danger right now?
The thing that I was confused about,
and I don't mean to like assume things, but like,
of course not, but the thing that threw me off with her is because, like, in the pods she was like, I'm not superficial. Why would you think I'm superficial? I just don't like having deep conversations. And then, like, just the way she acts, it looks like there's, like, nothing going on behind her eyes. Not saying she doesn't have a soul, but, like, that's some of her energy sometimes. And, like, we stand if you don't have a soul, girl. Like, I love the devil. But besides that, I just feel like the way she was acting in the reunion, especially, she's, like, sitting next to her husband, and, like, he's brushing over all the times he was, like, really angry and, like, getting ready to divorce her.
I mean, he was angry, like, two or one
regularly. Yeah. and just being like, I'm done, like, I'm not gonna be played on TV like this, and blah, blah, blah. And she's, like, crying in the background. And just to see her go from, like, that to, like, sitting next to him at the reunion, being, like, completely deadpan, being like, yeah, I'm just so happy.
I genuinely thought she was gonna say no on the wedding day.
I thought so, too.
You know?
Yeah, after all that shit.
Even...
Especially when they were at dinner, and he was like, oh, is love enough to make marriage work? And then she's like, I don't think so.
Yeah, I just... When she was up there, she was kind of, like, dancing around saying yes, because mm-hmm. she kept going, Matt, Maddie, and I was just like,
Matthew,
are you gonna say no? Please say no, please say no. You know, because at first I did think, well, we have to touch upon the pool conversation. So, like, mm-hmm. there was a moment where all the couples got to meet mm-hmm. for, like, the first or second time at a pool party.
And let me tell you, Bartice was horny.
For Raven, and she... rejected him so quick. I know that man was
bricked up in the pool.
Yeah.
And she was sitting there like, oh, mm-hmm. this man's hitting on me and I have a husband.
Yeah. Raven was not feeling it. So she was quickly like, I don't know, good luck to you. Like, I'm over here with my man.
Yeah.
Your girl's right there and you're over here telling me I got such bodacious boobies and things like that.
He was saying that she's such a baddie. Like, if I saw her in a bar, I would definitely go for her. Like, whatever bullshit he was saying. Yeah. But I'm just like, this is bold to say. That's another thing. People on this show are so bold.
Oh, yeah.
Why are y'all...
But that's what they cast him.
Exactly. The producers are probably eating that shit up. Why the fuck are y'all... looking this stupid on national fucking TV, being like, oh, I love this person, I'm gonna spend the rest of my life with them, I'm gonna propose to them, and then not even 2 days later, being in Mexico, calling another girl, oh, she's a baddie, she's hot, like, I'd smash, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You look like such a douchebag.
So, like, at that pool party, while, like, Bartice is trying to flirt with Raven.
And meanwhile.
Cole is with Zanab. Mm-hmm. Colleen is with Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Cole and Colleen had a thing for each other in the pods, but Cole was the one who ultimately rejected Colleen.
Because he thought she was superficial. Yeah. Which is
big coming from him.
I know. That man is a walking toddler. Like, adult toddler.
Yeah, but I remember when they were playing the scene back at the reunion, now we're just like, oh, it's so much worse than what either of them described it to
be. Yeah, they're both playing it down, being like, oh, we innocently said that, you know, we'd be a good match if we were outside of, you know, this experiment. But, like, the way it came across at the pool, he was literally like, yeah, you're hot. Like, I'd go for you.
Yeah,
like,
the nutshell version of that conversation was just, oh, we should have picked each other, huh?
Yeah, instead of our people. Oh, wow.
You know, so, like, throughout the season, Cole would do, like, shitty things like that. Mm-hmm. And I do think that was shitty of Colleen to do with Matt.
Right.
And I think Matt was right to be mad that first night, but he was also just, like, mad every other day for, like, anything else.
Yeah, and also, like, if you forgive somebody for something, like, to their face and say, like, oh, you're happy about things, because, like, they had the argument, and then the next day, they were, like, both happy and being like, yeah, it made us stronger together.
It didn't.
Yeah, because then they had the same argument, like, three other times. Yeah. And it's like, clearly, you guys are just lying and saying that you feel good about it when you don't. Because he's ready to bounce immediately, and she's feeling, like, really emotionally unstable.
Yeah. So, like, that entire time, at least with Cole and Zanab,
mm-hmm.
Cole was just not being a good partner to Zanab, being like, oh, yeah.
That man is a fucking toddler. The way, because he was, like, being pissed at her for being passive-aggressive, which I get. You don't need to be passive-aggressive. Just say if you want something. Keep it simple. You don't need to be snooty about it. However, that man is disgusting. Did y'all see his house in that episode?
Again, the flies in the toilet.
We don't need to sit here and be like, oh, Cole's the good guy because, you know, Zanab was telling him to be clean. Like, no.
Also, already once divorced.
True. He got divorced after, like, he said 2 months?
Something like that.
So we still don't even know the tea behind that, but I know his ex-wife is probably sitting there watching this going, I'm so glad I got out of that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, just throughout that entire relationship, he was...
unlikable. White. Well... synonyms.
he was, like, berating Zanab the whole time, just being like, you're too fat and da, 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 da. I mean, I'm paraphrasing,
he didn't say it like that, but yeah, he was basically being like, you're gonna eat all that, like,
yeah,
I can't believe that,
which, like, will lead us to the cuties conversation of it all. So, like, at the end of the reunion, they played, like, a never before seen clip between Cole and Zanab,
mm-hmm.
about some cuties, which, you know, are those little orange thingies And Zainab felt like Cole was body shaming her, being like, you should save your appetite and stuff.
His specific words were, oh, you're going to eat both of those, when she was going to eat two cuties, which are literally, if you don't know what a cutie is, it's literally just a really tiny orange. Mm-hmm. Like, they're oranges, I don't know if they're mixed with tangerines, but they're oranges that are bred specifically to be tiny and eaten quickly. Because they give you to them in, like, fucking kindergarten lunches. Like, they're tiny. So she was going to eat two cuties, and she said specifically in the reunion that she hadn't eaten anything all day and she was starving because they had been recording for the show for, like, 7 hours or something.
Yeah.
And let me attest to that, because I was on TV once.
Oh, yeah.
It's stressful.
Divorce Court. Jared was on an episode of Divorce Court.
I don't even know if it's on Hulu yet, but it'll be sometime this season.
With former View co-host Star Jones.
Come on, Star Jones.
I've watched.
She eats. Yeah. I like her.
She does a good job at that show.
But I'm, for those of you who don't know, I love reality TV, and specifically recently I got really into Divorce Court because it's hilarious. And I was like,
Your Honor, it's giving.
So there was a casting call last season, and I was like, oh, bet. So, like, I wanted to be in the audience, and so they pay you for a full day of recording. But it's a full-ass shift. I was recording for 9 hours.
Yeah, from, like, 5 a.m.,
I got up, because it was East Coast time. So they started recording at 8 a.m. East Coast time. And I live in California.
Do they record in Chicago?
I don't know. I think it's Atlanta.
Okay.
Something like that. It's somewhere on the East Coast is the point. But I had to wake up at, like, 4 something in the morning. I was sitting ready to record on Zoom for the audience at 5 a.m. I didn't get done until almost 2 p.m.
Yikes.
So I was exhausted, one, because I had to wake up so early, and two, because recording the whole time you're sitting there, they want you to be making expressions and, like, reacting and, like, acting lively because you're supposed to be, like, a live audience member. And so there's a producer in your ear the whole episode being like, react, react, smile, look, she said something funny, laugh. Wait, guys.
Did you sign an NDA?
Oh, God. I don't think I did. Please make my voice deeper and, like, edit it like that one episode of 30 Rock where it's like, thank you, gays. Like, anyway, but I don't think I signed an NDA. They only paid me, like, I'm not going to say. I'm already violating the NDA. They paid me not enough for that whole thing. I worked a whole day and got paid, like,
but that's
nothing.
Also just, like, standard TV.
Exactly.
Like, to be told, like even if you were to go see Jimmy Fallon, there'd be a producer yelling at you to be like, clap! He's funny, I swear!
I also saw, in New York, like, a while ago, I saw Stephen Colbert live, and that was a similar thing. Like, every single thing he was saying, we were supposed to be laughing and, like, yeah, like, audience reaction. So it was just, like,
because they had the applause sign and everything.
Right. And, like, with the Divorce Court one specifically, by that ninth hour, I was drained. I literally looked like this, probably, like, falling asleep. And, like, they're just, you know, talking their shit. Why did I get on this subject?
I don't know, but how many cases did they film that day?
It was, like, a lot of cases. It was probably, like, 4. I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because it was, like, back to back to back.
How long did each one take?
Like, an hour or two. Ugh. And then in between that, they were, like, doing production things and, like, changing the set. And, like, it was just, like, a lot. I didn't need to sit there for the whole 9 hours, but I did. I had to.
I will say, though, again, I think Star Jones is a good fit for that show. Not that I didn't like The Last Judge, but I just felt like she was very, someone could be like, Your Honor, he cheated on me. And she would be like, so he cheated on you. Anyways, here's my new book.
I still liked her. I wish I could have got a copy of her new book.
Yeah.
Sis, don't settle.
I mean, she was nice and all, but I don't know. Sarah Jones feels more engaging.
Okay. I need to figure out why I brought this up. It's going to bother me. I went back and reviewed the... footage, y'all. Anyway, so what I was gonna say was they had been recording all day, and Zainab said that she was starving because she hadn't eaten.
Back on Love is Blind,
not Divorce Court. Please don't sue me, Divorce Court. I love y'all. Like, if I sign an NDA, oops.
We love you, Star Jones. I never laughed at those SNL skits about your husband being gay in 2004.
If you have a book, can you send me a copy? I'm sure it's just as good as Sis, Don't Settle. Anyways, so Cole and Zainab had been filming all day and Zainab hadn't eaten, so she was going to eat two cuties. And Cole was like, you're going to eat both of those? You got to keep your appetite for dinner later. Isn't that Like, doesn't that rub you the wrong way, y'all? I feel like that's, like, misogyny. It's, like, body shaming. It's, like, a lot.
Because people, as soon as that scene was released, because Cole wasn't, like, being, you shouldn't eat those, the entire time people were just like, see?
It comes back to, like, unnecessary comments about people's bodies and, like, how they're eating. Like, eating is a touchy subject for people. You don't know if Zenob used to have an eating disorder. You don't know her history, probably. And you've already made her feel bad about her body because you're telling her constantly, you're not typically what I would go for. I'm more attracted to Colleen, who's, like, you know, skinny white girl. So she already has these feelings about her body and insecurity around you, who's supposed to be her husband, who cares so much about her. And to, on top of that, be like, oh, you're going to eat two cuties? That's unnecessary. Why are you sitting here and being like, oh, she's eating two fruits. She's a fat bitch. Not saying that's what he said, but, like, that's how it comes across to me, at least.
If we play back the scene, like, fully throughout that scene, he's just like, oh, but I offered you, like, my poke bowl. And she was just like, oh, but we had that, like, last night. I didn't want to eat that. And da 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 da. And after that scene came out, a lot of people online were being like, see, Cole was right all along. Zenob is a liar and a cheater and a scammer and deserves to die and blah, 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 blah. But it's just like, we all saw the same show. We all saw him talking about her looks the entire time.
Yeah.
We all saw him talking about the fact that he just doesn't like her the entire time.
Yeah, his main thing was just like, oh, Colleen's my type. At no point was he like, Zenob, you're so beautiful. I'm so glad I chose you. Like, it was always, like, underscored with, but Colleen's hot.
Like, are we also...
Is it so bad that I find Colleen hot? Because that's his defense. He literally thought he was, like, being a real one by pointing out that he thinks someone else is hot. Hotter than his wife.
And then he calls her bipolar.
Right. That was inflammatory as fuck.
You know? Like, I would have been done then and there.
I'm surprised she didn't just call it quits right then, because I would have. I was pissed watching that. Wasn't that when
she walked off or before? After.
Yeah, she got up and started getting her stuff, and then he, like, grabbed her and told her to come back, and then they, like, settled it.
Well, because the producers probably said, if you guys don't get back in that house right now, but, make us TV, damn it.
Yeah, but the bipolar comment was way, way uncalled for.
So to me, I don't feel like in that scene Zenob was really reaching, because we as the viewers kind of have context.
Yeah, you know exactly, like, why she felt that way, why it was hurtful, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it just gags me that so many people were just like, actually, Cole was the one who was hurt the entire time. Like,
stupid.
I don't know. Because Zenob at the wedding was just like, I'm not doing this to attack you, but I'm just letting you know, like, this is how you treated me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying this. I'm not saying this is how you treated anybody else, but this is how you treated me. And that's that. I'm not going to put up with it, so see ya.
Right. And then her friends clapped, which people interpreted as, like, oh, she planned this whole thing. But I'm like, if my friend did that shit unprompted on their wedding day and, like, ate that little boy up... I'd clap, too. Yeah. So she just has good friends. That's all it is. But people really wanted to find Cole for some reason. I just don't see it.
Because he's a white man.
Yeah, because he's a white man with a fragile ego, and he's, like, a Christian boy who's, like, doesn't see anything wrong with anything he did during the show, which is, you know, ridiculous.
It's the same thing with Chris Brown. Who's having, like, a mini resurgence right now. Kelly Rowland was just giving him flowers today. And I'm like, Kelly, not Kelly.
I thought Chris Brown was, like,
come on,
dead and gone.
Kelly, like, I'm tired of him. Can't handle this. Okay, that one.
Now, what kind of faggot in the Christmas?
That one might.
You're like, I'm editing that out.
No, I'm not. It's a quote Miss Kelly Rowland said.
True. I'm just quoting. I'm not using any slurs unless it's something that Kelly Rowland said.
She came up with the line herself, fun fact.
She meant every word of that shit. But, yeah, I don't like Cole. He's, like, my least favorite on that season. I don't like Bartice either, but Bartice is hot. Cole doesn't have that,
which,
in my opinion.
I'm very glad that they gave the people who needed to be dealt with, you know, the amount of time to be dealt with, minus Matt.
Yeah, they just kind of brushed over Matt and Colleen's relationship completely. But like you said, the girls kind of were standing up for each other, which I really liked, especially because Cole, the entire reunion up until just like, the very, very end. Well,
yeah, because he was being cocky crazy the entire time and gaslighting Colleen, and then gaslighting Zenob, the entire show. And then towards the end of the show, he was like, okay, so maybe I did those things. Is that so bad?
Yeah, it was weird. But not that weird, because I've seen men do the same thing. That's like the story of men is like gaslight you until you like... can't be gaslit anymore and then have a breakdown and try to be the victim.
Yeah.
But he literally, the entire reunion was being like, you made that up. You completely lied. Why are you lying right now? What are you gaining from this? And she's just being, she was so, the way she conducted herself in the reunion,
yeah,
I gotta give the girl some props.
Well, because she was just like, I don't hate you, but like,
she was so mature. You treated me horribly. Yeah, she was so mature about the situation. I'm not saying she was like super, super mature on the wedding day, because again, like, that's probably something that was influenced by the producer. She wasn't allowed to say no beforehand. She wanted to tell him these things before the wedding day, whatever. But like, that's how it was set up. As far as the reunion goes, she was very, very articulate and clear about all of her feelings. She told Cole exactly what was wrong with everything he did to her and why she felt so broken down by him. And then she forgave him on top of that and was really, really nice to him. And the way he still spun it, like, the entire reunion,
he looks like... Well, he was getting in fights with all the other girls.
Yeah, I was gonna say, the entire reunion, he was being so argumentative, being like, I never did that, you're lying, why are you all against me, why do you all hate me so much? And all of them are just being like, girl, like, we know exactly what went down between you two because she's our girl and she told us everything and like, we trust her and we're friends with her. So why would she make all of that up? Like, she cared about you just as much as you cared about her because she genuinely wanted to find a husband on this show and you shat all over her.
Yeah.
So they were all standing up for her. And then at the very like last 5 minutes of the episode, he's sitting there crying, like full on sobbing, like having a breakdown, being like, okay, maybe I'm not perfect. Maybe I'm not so bad just because I said all these things. Like, it was wild to watch. I was literally gagged the whole time. And then still, Zainab the whole time is just being like, I told you, I forgive you. Like, we're not meant for each other. It's okay. I'm sorry that I had to hurt your feelings that way on the wedding day. I'm sorry that I embarrassed you.
But like,
we're moving on with our lives. And like, I do forgive you for all of that. And he's just still crying by the end of the episode. And then they play the cuties scene. Yeah. Which,
we were gagged.
Yeah, for it was good reality TV. But one last thing on this. For those of you who are Cole supporters,
get out.
One, get out. Why are you here? Two, let me offer you this. The entire episode, including when Zainab mentioned the cuties thing, Cole kept saying, that never happened. You're making this up. Why are you lying?
It did happen.
Zainab literally said, okay, we have the footage. Producers, if you have the footage, roll the footage, you know? And then Cole, like, agreed to it. It was like, yeah, if you have it, roll the footage. They rolled the footage. It did happen. Yeah. So why are we still sitting here being like, oh, Cole's right. She's lying. She's making up all this stuff. He never said that. Maybe it didn't play out the way that you guys thought it played out based on how Zainab described it. Because
they feel like he needs to be like an outright villain. Yeah, they need to be...
Like, for it to be considered quote-unquote abuse, it needs to be like over-the-top, outburst, yeah, some kind of thing. But all that happened was he made those comments about what she was eating and what her body looked like and stuff. And that's just what it is at the end of the day. And that was enough to break down her self-esteem. And the footage exists. And they played it. So, like, I believe Zainab. That's all it is.
Yeah.
If you're a Cole supporter, maybe you just hate women.
I don't know. It just goes back to that willingness of, like, people being so easy to forgive men.
Yeah. They always situations. Get second and third and fourth and fifth chances, but then women are just like,
you know, oh. But the second the scene didn't play out how people thought it was going to play out, Zainab's crazy.
Yeah.
Zainab's a liar. Zainab's
and doing that. The same thing that uh-huh. Cole was doing, calling her bipolar, calling her insane, all this stuff. And it's like, why is that? Like, it goes back to the traditional notions of hysteria and stuff. It's like women need to be put on medication. They need to be sedated and calmed down because they just can't handle their emotions and all this stuff. And it's like, these are really, really outdated, shitty ideas about women that should have been gone by now.
Yeah.
Like, women are allowed to stand up for themselves. She's allowed to say no to a guy that she felt hurt by.
Is it just... I don't think it's unfair to say, but we're just, like, in this weird era of time where, like, things that have kind of, like, bad things that have kind of died out
are kind of,
like,
back.
Making a resurgence, like,
we're being regressing.
Thin and things like that.
Yeah, we're regressing. Society is kind of going back to a place of, like, oh, these things that are, like, dead and gone that we thought we had resolved are kind of being a problem again. Like, even simple stuff like, oh, should gay people be on TV? Like, some people are really against that again. And I'm like, where is this coming from?
And not to say that being thin was ever out, because, like, it never
was. Yeah, that's always the standard.
You know, but, like, it just feels like there's this big push from influencers, like, Kim K and people like that are getting rid of their BBLs and things, and now everybody wants to be,
people are really, really fatphobic to people like Lizzo and, you know, any other, like, bigger celebrity. And, like, people are praising Adele for losing all that weight and stuff, and suddenly they like her more. It's just, like...
It's weird.
It's weird, yeah. Why are we controlling people's bodies?
Yeah, it feels weird to see all these things like making a resurgence pretty much, you know? Right. It's just like, we're not in 2002 anymore.
It's like a weird, the universe is like brewing some kind of like collapse. I feel it coming.
I mean, I'll fucking say it. I'm not,
she's about to go off.
I mean, this is not anything revolutionary to say, because like we all know it's always been there, things like that, whether it be like racism, homophobia, fatphobia, whatever have you. Mm-hmm. They have always been there, and
right,
unfortunately will probably always be there given, right, the way that humans are.
Yeah.
I just feel like and I don't think Hillary would have saw this either, because I already feel like, because of the pure fact that Donald Trump got so popular,
yeah,
his annoyingness would have persisted, you, yeah, know, in terms
and
of
his loonies are always gonna be there
thing and everything. Yeah. It's just like a lot easier for people to be an antithesis and be like, see, it's okay now because he did it mm-hmm. and got away with it,
right,
you know? And I know that's so like obvious to say, you know, but it's just like people are horrible for letting it get that far.
Yeah, it should have never got that far. 2016 was a bad year.
And now look at where we are with things. It's just, they're trying to introduce a bill in Tennessee to ban drag shows, period.
Yeah. It's stupid. But I expect nothing less from those kind of places that have always kind of, like, had those ideologies. Especially places with a lot of, like, I guess rural,
yeah,
people. Because, like, those are the people with, like, every reason to be more on the left side of things, because they would actually benefit a lot from that, but their like poor unwashed white ass is still voting for the person who would rather like put a gun in their hands and like disenfranchise every minority, because yeah, that's like better to them than like, I don't know, free healthcare. Like, it's crazy to me.
Listen,
like, your grandma's dying on her deathbed because she has diabetes and she can't pay for insulin, but you know, let's Second Amendment rights. I hate the blacks, you know. That's how they come across. It's crazy.
Which is also crazy because they were a few things. Good luck trying to cut.
Good luck, Charlie.
Yeah. Good luck trying to fucking cut George's fucking check at Play Nashville. That shit is not going down. She will carry that place till it's fucking burned to the ground. Hopefully that's not ever going to happen. But like, you guys should... Why are we banning a drag show? Because after we ban the drag show, it's going to be like, let's ban gay people, period. Because we all know it's going to get there, you know?
And, again, it goes back to the thing you were saying about, like, we're pulling back up stuff that we thought we had resolved.
And not that I thought homophobia was resolved.
It wasn't,
either,
but
like,
it made progress. And yeah, we're regressing. Because gay people used to be hiding and having to be doing things in secret. And there was anti-sodomy laws, and there's, like, you know, drag and gay clubs and gay bars were all underground, like, secret things because you had to make sure it was safe. And that's how it used to be back in, like, the 70s and the 80s and stuff. And nowadays, we shouldn't have to be worrying about stuff like that, because I thought we had made progress. I thought it was okay to be, you know, out and proud and, yeah, like, live your life. We're still not infringing on anybody's rights. We're still not, like, taking spaces from other people, but it's just about us having our own space in society, and now they want to take that back away from us because they're like, oh, we don't like this.
We were supposed to talk about Pokemon this
episode. We were, and I still want to.
Yeah,
we will.
We
have time.
But it's just like, it's crazy.
And here's how Pokemon will solve homophobia. Gen 10 is going to have.
I was going to say, though, because I remember I was going to say something about like the banning on the drag shows before that.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever, I lost it. If it comes back to me, it comes back to me. But okay, like, I just think it's crazy, you know. Like, we of all the things to be doing. Oh yeah, now I remember. Because during this midterm election, it was supposed to be, they were calling it the red tsunami.
Yeah, it was gonna be the red wave.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like this overwhelming amount of Republican wins, especially of Trump nominated people, like people he endorsed, mm-hmm, and that just didn't happen.
Yeah, because that's not realistic. Even though there is a big population of conservatives in America, like at least half the population, like a lot of the big cities are mostly liberal because that's where all the big population of the country is, in these big cities, concentrated into small areas.
Yeah.
And that's where people are more educated. That's where people are, you know, seeing life from a more modern perspective. Because those rural areas, like...
There's just so many different kinds of people.
Right. You're not exposed to as much diversity. You're more likely to have negative opinions and stereotypes in your head about minorities because you don't know any. You don't see them in your daily life. You're not friends with any. You're surrounded by your little echo chamber of other uneducated whites. And then you start fostering those negative, hateful ideals, and you care about wanting guns to protect yourself because there's some unseen threat that's after you or something. When the real unseen threat is, like, the guns ending up in a psycho person's hand and then the mass shootings that keep happening. So, like, what the fuck are we doing here? But, yeah, the red wave's not going to happen, girl. Like, politics has always been a back and forth, but, like, there's never going to be an overwhelming one thing over the other unless we start making actual progress in this country. And
yeah.
And, like, people start wanting to, like, I don't know, not have to worry about paying for healthcare and not have to worry about stepping outside of their house and getting shot.
I think, not to, like, talk into political strategy, but, like, Republicans need to realize that going Trump after Trump was never the way to go.
Yeah.
I mean, it was never to go to the way to begin with.
But he had, like, that kind of build-up prior to his actual election and, like, getting the office.
Yeah.
That's long gone. You're not going to have that momentum anymore because he went through the presidency and then he failed. And now he's lost and he's, you know, just not going to have the same traction that he used to.
Yeah. I mean, even because, like, fucking Carrie Lake lost in Arizona. I'm pretty sure Herschel Walker lost. You know, those were all his people. And it's just, like, your legacy is pretty much over, dude. Like, you're a fucking criminal.
Right.
And now you're running for election again, returning to the scene of the crime where you incited an insurrection, stole documents.
We haven't talked about that. That's a whole thing that I still just am so in disbelief about because
that happened.
They're so entitled to the point where they feel like they can genuinely storm the Capitol building. Which, not saying that revolution is bad. I love a good revolution, girl. But that wasn't that.
Yeah.
That was literally, like, you didn't like the results of the democratic election that happened in your country. It's not like we're under tyranny or anything. Donald Trump got rightfully elected out through the Electoral College system, which I don't even agree with.
We sang since you've been gone in the streets for a fucking reason.
And still, it's like, oh, voter fraud. Oh, they counted the ballots multiple times. They lied. Some shit. And then everyone's suddenly storming the Capitol. What the fuck? Like, y'all are crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking Colin Zenob.
No. that is just like, and not to defend Nancy Pelosi out here in these streets either, because I don't like her. But, like, even recently...
You got the burn book and you're like, Nancy Pelosi is a fugly slut.
I think there's a lot of reasons to dislike Nancy Pelosi. Mm-hmm. I think in the past, did she maybe do some good? Did she lay some foundations?
She did do that color show one time.
What color show?
Nancy Pelosi?
Oh my
God. I'm sorry. I couldn't resist.
She's been on 2 episodes of Drag Race. but, like, someone even, like, last month broke into her home San Francisco and was intending to break her kneecaps, but did it to her husband instead because she wasn't there. And that's just, like, acceptable?
Them's the breaks.
And then, like, the Fox News anchors were being like, like, what?
It's crazy. It's the violence thing.
Like, it just feels weird to be in a place where people are like, it's fine, when it's like, that is very much not...
Yeah, that's not okay.
Fine. So we can just go into each other's houses and break each other's kneecaps and be like...
And, like, if that's the case... Actually, never mind. I was gonna say, like, I'll go break into, like, a conservative's house, but that's why they want the Second Amendment so bad, because they're waiting for it.
Yeah.
They're waiting for somebody to break into their house so they can fucking shoot them.
Yeah, it's just... Let Trump go. Let fucking Trump go. Like, his latest campaign, like, reveal. His campaign.
Said, come on, 2024, let's get sickening.
His 2024 announcement was, like, not only so bad that Fox News cut away from it mid-speech or whatever.
Good.
There was no one big in politics there besides, like, he's, like, the D-list politics at that point. Madison Cawthorn
okay.
Was the only, like, politician there. Everyone else probably just snored coke.
Yeah.
And fucking partied all night. But, like, that announcement didn't make a big splash like his first announcement did, you know?
Yeah.
And I would just hope that I do feel like the media played a big hand in getting Trump to where he did, you know, because it was constantly reporting on everything that he did leading up to the election. And I don't know. I just feel like if we didn't put a camera on him and, like, let him scream into the void, you know, we probably wouldn't have gotten here. I mean, who's to say? Who knows? I would just hope that they don't. It's not all Trump all the time this next election cycle. Ugh. You know, like,
I'm just so over it. That's the thing. I understand the importance of all of this stuff, and I understand that we're in a system that we have to participate in. But I'm just so, like, mentally and emotionally drained and exhausted from the last however many years, politically and just socially in general. Like, the climate has just been so fucking fucked that I don't even want to, like, think about it. Yeah. So, like, this upcoming election, I don't even know if I'm going to engage with anything. I'm just going to, like, live my life, do my silly little chores, and then I'll vote whenever I vote, you know? Like we'll see how it goes.
I mean, he also announced really early, I think. Also, it was a bad move for him to announce when he announced, because, like, you just fucking took a huge, like, dump in the face after losing like that in the midterms, and now you want to announce when you have no momentum.
Right.
Fuck. I forgot what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. Oh, well. I mean, I don't know. Like, the last few years have been just a lot, and now I remember. Bad time for him to announce, and it's also very early to announce for a 2024 run.
Yeah, we still got, like, a year and a half.
I feel like it was, like, the midterm elections just happened. Like, we don't even know if Joe's gonna run again. We don't know if Kamala's gonna run in his place. We don't know if fucking Hillary's gonna throw her hat back in the ring, which, dear God, I hope not.
Pokemon, go to the polls.
You know? Like, I just do it. It's too early to tell, but, like I said, I just hope we don't put a hyper focus on Trump. Like, just let him die out, and we can move forward with, like, let the adults do adult things, you know? Let's give him a seat at the kids' table and never to be seen again. Please and thank you.
That's what happens at the kids' table. We let them die and never to be seen again.
Because we don't feed them at the kids' table.
And this is why I'm never having kids. Also because, you know, the world is overpopulated and climate change, but, you know, whatever.
I'll take them in if you ever do have, like, an emergency child or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If Ryan ever gets pregnant at all.
Yeah. Or you. You could be, like, a seahorse situation.
Like, how the implication there is that Ryan is also not male.
Wait. You could be, like, Kingdra. You think Kingdra gives birth that way? See what I did there? Pokemon.
I don't know. Anyway, so Pokemon. The new Pokemon came out. Pokemon, go to the polls.
Yeah.
And let me tell you.
Someone said that was the first Be Real, by the way.
Really?
No, like, they were joking, saying that whole Vine was, like, the first Be Real. Like, the picture of the water bottle and then the picture of Hillary.
Right. True. Wait, she's a trendsetter. What was I going to say?
New Pokemon.
Oh, yeah. New Pokemon game came out on Friday night. Or Friday.
Thursday night.
And I was gagged. I was gooped.
We were
gagged.
Hitting that A button over and over again until it let us in.
I have never spent $60 so fast in my life. I was going to get the Pokemon game regardless. I will fully admit it. Game Freak, you have my balls in a fucking trap. So, regardless of how bad it looked or whatever was going to happen, I'm curious. I want to play it myself. So, like, I got it. It's pretty good. It's not perfect. There's a lot of problems with it graphically and technically.
A lot.
Because
I'll get into it in a second.
Yeah, we'll get into it. We don't have too much time, but we'll get into it.
We can extend it a little. We'll see.
If you want. It plays like shit sometimes, and the graphics are kind of all over the place, but story elements, amazing. Gameplay, very, very entertaining. It added a lot of stuff from Legend Arceus that I think they needed to put in the main series, and I really appreciate that. The world feels more alive than Sword and Shield did, because Sword and Shield felt like the wild area, and it was lifeless, soulless, just like,
I mean, that's weird. Just kind of how where everywhere felt in Sword and Shield.
Well, yeah, but like I was gonna say, life, the wild area was supposed to be like the big hub of the game, so you spent most of your time there, but it was lifeless, and then the routes were just kind of like short little streets that you would get on.
They were like a path,
yeah, and it was like there was no branching, there was no connectivity, it was just a big circle, and then all the towns were just kind of like meh.
I think that's
the only one I liked was the fairy one.
Not to drag Sword and Shield, but like, when no, don't drag, I drag Sword and Shield, Sword and yeah. Shield anyways?
It was a flop generation for the most part.
But I'm just going to talk about the roots specifically. I've always hated the roots in that game. A, because they were so short. Mm-hmm. B, because they were just paths. Mm-hmm. C, because the music sucked on all of them. Like, mm-hmm. remember when root music or route music, whatever, however you say it, was fucking good? Like, think of Hoenn, but not only think of Hoenn, think of fucking Route 10 before Victory Road in Black and White. Mm. Think of Route 216 in Diamond, Pearl, and Platinum. Mm. You know? Even Route 1 from the fucking Kanto region. You're gonna tell me isn't a bop? Like, but in Sword and Shield, it was just generic bagpipe music, and I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah, it was very, I get that they were trying to go with, like, the UK inspiration real hard, but, like, that whole region is just bagpipes and, like, crowds cheering.
I feel like they could have taken after, like, British, like, music throughout history to, like, make some of the battle themes. Probably. And things like that. Like, imagine if they made some, like, Beatles-y sounding songs for some of them. Or even, like, gave us, like, a Spice Girls, like, not, like, an anthem with lyrics because, mm-hmm. you know, Pokemon doesn't do voices.
Yeah.
But, like, if they did that, I think that would have been very cool for the region. There also just wasn't a lot to do in the region. Like, a lot of buildings had doors, but you couldn't go inside of them. Mm-hmm. You know, that sort of thing. The NPCs never really said anything worthwhile. They would just be like, either let's battle or, hey, I'm here. Mm-hmm. You know? So, in comparison, Scarlet and Violet, however, it definitely makes up for a lot of that because there's a lot to do in each town, I feel like.
The world just feels bigger.
It feels like filled in.
Pokemon games are very...
when it's there and not glitching out.
Well, yeah, let's be organized here. I want to talk about the pros. I'll get to the cons after.
Okay, it's cons after. Yeah, yeah.
So pros, like I said, story elements are really good. The world feels more alive. Like, going out into the environment, you can see Pokemon doing like each of their little things.
Yeah.
And it feels realistic. They interact with the world in a realistic way. Like, the swimming Pokemon swim. Magikarp can jump out of the water.
Not just
stuff.
Like how they did in the wild area in Sword and Shield, because the Pokemon
the wild
were
area
just
were very
there,
lifeless. It was literally just like plop them down. None of them act unique or different. There was always like one strong one in every area, and it was like predictable exactly where it would spawn, and like it's always in the same place, and it's always the same level. Stuff here feels more alive. It's more random. Like, sometimes there will be, like, random Terra Pokemon walking in a place that I've never seen it before.
Yeah.
I saw a Terra Gyarados swimming around in the lake yesterday. Like,
I found the grass-type Leafeon, by the way.
Nice.
It was level 50, and I ran out of there.
Yeah. I also saw a Slowbro yesterday that was fighting-type in the water, and it was so cute seeing it swim, because it was just, like, hunched over. Ooh.
But that's the thing. We can see them swim.
Yeah. It was, like, hunched over a little bit, and it looked really cute. But, yeah, the world feels more alive in this. And then the towns, I'm not obsessed with. I think they're
look
passable.
Better.
I don't think they're horrible looking, but yeah, they could look better and they could have more to them. Most of them are mostly just pit stops. Like, they've got the little Pokemon Center, and I keep calling them gas stations because that's how they feel in this game.
I like that though.
I like it because you don't have to walk into a building to do your shit. Yeah. You can literally just get there. Nurse Joy's like, hey girl, and get going, like, back out of there.
She
back
types
on
her non-existent keyboard.
She, girl. But yeah, it's iconic. And yeah, so the thing with the towns is also just like, same thing with Sword and Shield, a lot of the buildings you can't even interact with. They're just there for show.
Yeah.
Especially the first town, none of the buildings are interactable.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's literally just some cute looking houses, and then there's some people outside. And it's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, I guess I'm going to school.
Like any other Pokemon game, that first town would have had the professor's lab.
Right, right. Like a few people's houses, your rival's house, your house, some random other person's house, like people you could talk to in every area, in every house. And so it's missing that, but the world is alive enough that I don't feel like I'm lacking anything. I feel like I'm okay going out into the routes and going out into the provinces. And
fair to feeling, say.
Yeah. I can go
because there's so much to do.
Right. And the raids, that's another thing. The raids are, they kind of improved upon the formula from Sword and Shield, because Sword and Shield max raids were just like, it was entertaining for like the first week that I played that game. And then I was like, oh, this is annoying. These are really long.
You know what made them really bad?
The AI.
Well, the AI, but also giving every raid above 3 stars in Sword and Shield.
That shield.
The shield.
Where
that
you have
just
to like hit them a billion
down.
Times. Yeah. But that's what I was going to say with the long thing. They're really long. You only have 3 lives. So if you're against like a hard raid and you have some fucking shitty AIs that they give you, they were like, you'd go up against a raid with like a G-Max Corviknight and they would give you like an Eevee. And
Magikarp.
Like, a Magikarp. Yeah, some really bad Pokemon.
And not to forget that guy was Solrock.
Yeah, really bad Pokemon. And then if those Pokemon die, it counts towards your death limit. Yeah. So if the AI NPCs they give you die 3 times, then you have to start the whole thing over. I hated that shit. So I did some raids in Sword and Shield, and then I was like, I'm never touching these again. I don't care. Even when people were doing the shiny raids and shit, I didn't care. I was just like, you know, I'm over this game. I'm done. The DLC revived my interest in the game for like a couple weeks, and then I was just kind of like, actually, no, this wasn't worth all this money. And then I left it just like that. But Scarlet and Violet improved the formula so much. The raids are much faster. They're much more vibrant and entertaining. The AI is better.
And I gotta say, God bless for Toby motherfucking Fox.
Oh, this song is really good, yeah.
The song in that raid fucking battle theme is millions and millions times better than the raid battle theme in Sword and Shield.
And I don't think expect anything less from my boy.
That song is so... I literally have not been able to stop humming that song to myself. Like, I just hear it when I'm, like, walking around, you know? I hope he stays on permanently.
I hope so too, yeah. He's a really good addition to the cast.
Yeah.
Because
there's a few other battle themes he's made in the game, like the Team Star themes and stuff
That's another thing. I love Team Star. They're the only
the
team.
The writing in this game, like, the story is actually good. Again, like,
right.
The characters feel alive.
Yeah. I was going to say Sword and Shield, the characters, I had a couple that I liked the designs of. None of them seem to be unique or have a distinct personality or be characterized well. Leon was very blah.
I've never lost.
Yeah, his whole thing is like, oh, I'm the champion, I have a Charizard, and I love sports, blah, blah, blah. Look at me in the stadium, G-maxing my Charizard, blah, blah, blah.
He had and guess what? Ash beat your motherfucking ass.
True, but he had that whole thing in the game where he's like, oh, I'm the champion, I got a Chairman Rose. That whole thing just felt like, what the fuck is going on? Like, the world's literally ending or something. Eternatus is, like, gonna destroy everything because Chairman Rose is worried about climate change, essentially.
And Leon's like, it's fine.
Leon doesn't give a fuck. That's supposed to be the champion. That's supposed to be, like, the person that everybody in the whole region loves because he's, like, a celebrity, basically. And all he has to say is, like, oh, I got other things to do. And the fucking 10-year-old has to save the
world.
And
they expect me to like Leon after
that. That's what
I'm
saying. I was just like, and then you beat Eternatus, literally save the world from Chairman Rose. And then you have to go battle Leon.
Yeah.
And it feels like, okay, like, why weren't you helping? Why was I the only one working?
No,
I had...
He did fight Eternatus, but Eternatus whooped his Pokemon's ass.
Oh, yeah, and then you had to bring out Zacian or Zamazenta.
Yeah.
I just remember that whole part of that game being like, what the fuck is going on? This is stupid. And also, I don't like Leon.
Yeah.
Like, the character was not characterized well.
I hated his brother, too.
I was over Hop. He was just like, how 2.0.
I know we keep comparing it to Sword and Shield, but you gotta, it was
the
last
it's
generation.
It's the last main series game, so we're just trying to, like,
so we're looking at where they've
come
since then, which I can say already the rivals in this game, Nimona, Arvin, and even Penny, I like them a
much
lot.
Much more entertaining, yeah.
You know,
I love
didn't
Penny.
Think
I
was gonna like Arvin at first either, but,
yeah,
like,
Arvin's,
he's really taken
Arvin's
me.
Design is kind of meh, but, like, playing through his route of the game is so
they're really treating
emotionally...
him like he's 10 years old, by the way.
Yeah, they're treating him like he's younger than he is, but...
He looks
think...
28.
I think, there's a lot of, like, interesting commentary about, like, childhood trauma there. If you wanted to, like, read into it a little bit. And I'm not going to get too far into it now because I don't want to spoil anything for the
yeah, I guess it's like a no spoiler sort of situation.
Right, right. Yeah. But his route really makes you empathize with him and get to know him better. And I really like him as a character because it literally reminds me of N in Gen 5. And anybody who knows me knows that N is my favorite Pokemon character of all time. He is literally like so well written. And it's hilarious because back when Gen 5 was like coming out, I was like, oh, they changed so much. I don't like this.
Well, people were so mad that they had their own 151 and things like that. Well,
yeah, but I was one of those people. But it was because it had just come off of Gen 4, and Gen 4 was, like, one of my favorite generations ever. I was so in love with the whole thing, especially Platinum, because Platinum, like, fixed all the problems that Diamond and Pearl had.
Well, when you end on such a high note, like, Heart Gold and Soul Silver, too.
Right,
like...
that was also... And I loved... Because Gold was my first game, so Heart Gold and Soul Silver were, like, so fun. So coming off the back of that into an entirely new region, into a new formula with all these new Pokemon where you don't really have access to the other Pokemon as much until post-game, I was a little pissed as a little fucking 12, 13-year-old, however old I was. But looking back on those games, those were probably story-wise some of the best in the whole series. Yeah. Because N was an amazing character. Getsis and Team... what's their name? Team Plasma?
Yeah.
Team Plasma were crazy.
Team Plasma, and then we got like Neo whole... Team Plasma in the sequel.
Yeah, it was like a whole like commentary on like animal rights and like it's like
we're looking at you, PETA Black and Blue.
Yeah, I was just wow.
Well, so fun story real quick. Mm-hmm. Back in middle school, my friend had this action replay thingy from Japan where it had a bunch of games on it.
Okay.
So it had already Pokemon Black and White because it was out in Japan, and he let me borrow it and like get him through like four gyms in that game. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what was happening, but I was having so much fun.
Yeah,
you know. And then when the game actually came out, I caught my little ice cream cone and I had myself a good old time.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed those games. You know,
because
it even feels like, because you know, Sonic's kind of having a moment right now where his fans are like, oh, it feels like his glory days again, you know? At least in terms of the story and characters, it kind of feels like the glory days of, like, Black and White, you know?
Absolutely. I agree with that. And I think that's one of the main things that I was missing for a while, because, like, don't get me wrong. I felt really, really good about Sun and Moon. I think those were the last entries in the series, because Gen 6, like, X and Y was kind of like, meh, I don't care about these characters.
Yeah.
And then,
they didn't really do a good job at making me care about them either.
It was literally so, like, blah. Like, I was so annoyed because we had, like, three rivals in that game. I hated all of them.
And you always had to battle all three of them.
You always had to battle all of them. And then I didn't like the team in that game. I didn't care about Lysander and Team Flare. I was just kind of like, okay, whatever. Anyways, Mega Evolved my Mawile.
I would have liked it a lot better because Team Flare's whole thing was supposed to be that they were the fashionable team who hate ugly things.
They weren't fashionable. They were the ugly team.
I really would have liked it if they just took it a camp route, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't know. Instead, it went all world ending and it didn't even do a good job at that.
Yeah, it was weird. And I was just kind of like, okay, anyways. And then Oras was fine. I love Hoenn. So I was like, this isn't, like, a perfect remake, but I still really enjoyed it. And then, so when Sun and Moon came out, and that story was really interesting. I love the Ultra Beasts. I love the idea of, like, different dimension Pokemon.
And also actual child abuse.
Right, actual child abuse with, Lucina. Not me only liking the child abuse characters. It's trauma. It's relatable. Anyways, but yeah, Lucimine and, what's her name? Lily. Lily was
to this day one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, she slays.
Yeah.
She... Her glow up, and this is just talking about every Pokemon game now. Like, we're not even talking about Scarlet and Violet. But, like, who cares? Yeah. But Lily is such a fun character, and she has her little glow up, and she stands up for herself, and she puts up her little ponytail, and is like, I'm killing these bitches.
I will say about Sun and Moon,
uh-huh.
I think it was a mistake to do Ultra Sun and Moon and not Sun and Moon 2.
Yeah. Ultra Sun and Moon was a bit of a flop.
I couldn't think they could have done the whole Necrozma thing in a sequel anyways.
They would have, yeah. It would, if they had gone the Black and White route with it and just continued the story, that would have been more better.
Because
more better.
Like, the Ultra better. Sun and Moon story, the gameplay in that game and what they have you do in that game is so much better than in Sun and Moon.
Yeah.
However, the story in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon is a worse story than the one in
Black and
White. Vanilla Sun and Moon.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just like, why did we do that?
Yeah, it's a little bit backtracky. Like, some things got better, but other things got worse.
Uh-huh.
And I just felt like I was doing a lot of the same shit. Like, when I played Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, I originally wasn't going to get it, but then Matt got it for me for my birthday. And I was like, okay, I guess I got to play it now because I have it. And then when I played it, I was just like, this is just Sun and Moon. Like, it's the exact same fucking game. Like, not anything is much different besides, like, the small gameplay things.
I mean, imagine how I felt having already played through Sun and Moon.
Separately?
Yeah.
That's funny.
So, like, because I bought, that was the first generation where I bought both of them.
Yeah.
And then when Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon came out, I was like, I'm not buying both.
Yeah. You know? I originally was going to completely skip Ultra Moon because I was just like, based on everything I've seen about this, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't need to spend money on this. Like, come on now. And that was the last 3DS game, too. So I was just like, I don't really use my 3DS at that point. Like, I'd already got my Switch, I think. So anyway, Sword and Shield was a big letdown compared to Sun and Moon. And it feels like they're kind of, like, going back up. Like, yeah. this is a good improvement. I loved all the stuff they incorporated from Arceus. The story is in a really, really good place. I love these characters. I'm really invested in them. I'm not all the way done with the game, so I can't even imagine how much more intense it's going to get the further I get. But I'm really enjoying the game so far. That's kind of my main thing. I don't know if I love Arvin as much as N, but they have very similar kind of characterizations, in a sense. Arvin's more food-focused. N is more like, I love Pokemon, but I want them to be free.
And they might be a Zoroark.
Speaking of Zoroark, I was fucking in, like, the forest area above the lake. And it was when I was trying to catch my Toadscool. Speaking of which, I have a shiny fucking Toadscool.
Peach would have that Pokemon, I feel like.
Peach?
Like, the shiny Toadscool?
Oh, yeah. Most likely. But I was in that forest, and when I was trying to catch the Toadscool, bitch, I get in the battle, it turns into Zoroark. And then it's just like, hey, I'm Zoroark, and starts trying to kill me. And I'm like, Shadowclaw. What was it? It was, like, level 50-something. I think I caught it. But yeah, I was so gagged because, like, Ditto and Zoroark actually just disguise themselves at all times. So yeah. You'll just randomly enter a battle and it'll be a Ditto.
There's been a few times I've seen so-and-so of my Pokemon has knocked out a Ditto and I'm like, damn it!
Oh, no. Any notes on cons? Because I feel like I just spent that whole time talking about other Pokemon games and also what I love about this.
Let me get into the cons. Go for here. It. Some people have been lucky enough not to experience a lot of issues, you know. I recognize that part of it could be because I do indeed have a day one Switch.
You mean Charlie's Switch is inferior?
I still feel like some of these problems are kind of unexcusable. The game can barely keep up with itself. I've had the game freeze on me 3 or 4 times now. I had the game crash once already
I've had the game crash a few times.
It was when I tried going into a Terra battle and the game just was like, I can't do it. Sorry.
Right.
The game looks very ugly and very rough around the edges. And I'm kind of just shocked. I don't know. Obviously, looks don't have to do a lot with our runs because there's so much going on in these games. But I still feel like at face value, given at what it looks like, you know, I feel like it should run a lot smoother.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot
the,
of...
The professor's hair. That you were...
Oh, yeah. Like, I was taking a class in the game and there was just a lock of one of the teacher's hair that was just moving up and down and up and down. And it was just kind of like taking me out of the scene. And that happens a lot in this game where, like, the first few hours I was playing it, I especially felt this way because now I'm kind of, like, some of the stuff is, like, haha funny in, like, a Sonic 06 way.
Yeah.
But it's also, like, why is there this many problems?
Yeah. This is something that you should have been, like, playtesting and working on fixing.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, like, hair mechanics. Like, stuff as simple as that professor's hair bouncing in the middle of the scene while she's trying to talk and it's just like going nuts.
That can be
easily fixed. I've played so many games, especially in like this 3D era of gaming where pretty much every game is in full 3D model renders, and they look great. Persona, perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
No real graphic glitches there, and they're doing all kinds of crazy movements. Because
I feel like graphics wise, at least. Or mechanically, the way Persona presents itself and Pokemon presents itself is very similar.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say it's not that effort doesn't go into Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, but it feels like a lot more love and time went into, like, say, for example, Persona 5.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like Persona 5 we're getting, you know, or, like, God of War level cutscenes every 2 minutes.
Right.
And it's the same with Pokemon, you know? Like, you're kind of just put into this world and you do things.
Right.
And the models are the models, you know?
But some of the cutscenes are there. Like, in Persona, like, when they're having the first few cutscenes with new Phantom Thieves, they look amazing. They are some of the coolest scenes in video gaming, period. Like, when you first get Arsene as Joker, and also, like, I really like Anne's cutscene when she gets Carmen. Like, I found those scenes really, really compelling and emotional.
But you look at Pokemon, for example, and Arceus did this a lot. We just cut to a black screen with a box of tests and say, this happened. Imagine it.
Imagine a world like that. And then in this game, there is cutscenes. Like, I had a cutscene with Arvin after I beat the last Titan, and it was, like, emotional, but it wasn't graphically as good as Persona.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell that they didn't put as much effort into some of those things. The story is still great, don't get me wrong, but I'm saying, like, graphically and technically, especially... the game
can't keep up with itself.
Especially in battles. If you're on a slope in a battle, bitch, you're good screwed. Luck. I have, one, seen so many graphical glitches with battles, just with stuff getting in front of you, stuff getting between you, because, like, it doesn't really block off the area around you when you're battling, so NPCs can walk through, Pokemon can walk through, other players can walk through if they're in your world. It's, like, it causes a lot of hijinks to ensue, but the gag of it all is that you can actually abuse this, because there was an area, you get, like, in my game it's Maridon, but you can also, like, in Scarlet get Caridon to do this. After you beat a certain Titan, you get the ability to, like, climb up walls, and that allows you to access certain areas of the game that you weren't able to access before. My level 30 ass, before I got this ability, I really wanted to go to the top floor of this cave that I found, and there was just a wall that I literally could not get up. I couldn't jump up because I didn't jump high enough. I didn't have the super jump yet. I didn't have the ability to climb yet. So I was like, okay, how can I glitch this game? Because I had already done it once with a waterfall jump. Because I'm persistent and I love
Jared breaking. Was there for like 20 minutes trying to jump across a river. And I was like,
and it's I did not it. Happening. I did and then it did happen. I literally hit the corner of the river. Maridon flipped around and started jumping backwards. And I just kept pressing B until I got on top of the river. It was easy. But I was like, I'm going to glitch this game and find a way up there, because I know for a fact that this game is broken enough to let me do it. Like, just based on the shit I'd seen that far, I was like, this game is barely functional at times. Yeah. So I know there's a way to get on top of this cliff. I was trying the Maridon jump for a while, and that wasn't working. And then I realized, oh, if I move the camera a certain way, the camera clips through the wall, and I can see everything on the top of the cliff, because the entire wall I can see through. And then I used the lock-on feature to lock onto Pokemon that were on top of the cliff, even though I was at the bottom of the cliff. And then I would just throw my Pokeball at them, and it would go through the wall, hit the Pokemon, and start a battle. And then it would, like, send out my Pokemon and move me. And so I kept positioning myself, trying to find the perfect angle to start a battle with one of those Pokemon on the cliff to force me to the top of the cliff.
Oh my god.
And half the time, it would stab me in the middle of the cliff, and then as soon as the battle ended, I would, like, fall back to the ground. And then the other half of the time, it would put me at the top of the cliff, but then as soon as I would move, it would put me back at the bottom. Until I got the perfect angle by battling a Toxtricity, and it was really, really far away from me, but I had to, like, push into the wall to clip into it a little bit and then lock on and start the battle before I got clipped back out. And then I did it, and then it literally just teleported me to the top of the cliff.
Oh my god.
And then I was running around in the cave getting, like, fucking full restores and ultra balls and shit. Oh, and there was, like, god, a level 60 fucking Terra Pokemon up there. I could not do any of the shit up there, but, like, I got through it and I found a Pokemon Center eventually, so I could fly there after. But so, like, the game is broken, is my point, but it's fun.
Yeah, like, don't get me wrong, that's a fun, because you're going to look back at that 5 years from now and be like, oh, that was fun.
Remember? Yeah, I have little clips of it on my Switch being like, holy shit, I did this.
And I'm not saying that, like, you can't have fun in aspects like that, but that...
It does take away from the... It shouldn't
be happening, it shouldn't be happening
at this level of a game.
Yeah.
From this rich of a company.
Yeah.
It does take away... I don't think there's
any excuse.
Right, it does take away from the immersion of the game, because it pulls you out of this little reality that they've built and says, hey, this is a game. And it's broken.
Before I started getting into, like, story bits and everything, like, when I was just at the school and stuff.
Yeah.
And
the classroom, too. They're like, moving 2 frames a second, kicking their feet, and it's like, wow, they didn't program this at all. The holy
technical
shit.
Issues I was having there were so bad that I almost wanted to stop playing, like, completely.
down.
Like, that morning, I was just like, I don't know if I'm gonna like this, like, at all. If this is, like, what the rest of the game is gonna be like. You know, just, like, lag and just, like, all sorts of issues. Like, with that, like, I've seen the inside of so many models I haven't. Same. I shouldn't be able to see. Like, I've seen my trainer's, like, full set of teeth. I've seen
my favorite of the sandwiches. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, like, what is that?
I've seen in battles before they begin. So, like, if it's a cutscene into a battle, like, before the battle begins, I'll see the shadow of the Pokemon that's first in my party before I even throw out the ball.
It seems like that's a lot of things, because, like, the transitions in this game, like, did you see the video of the T-posing?
Yeah.
I had that happen yesterday with the cutscene with Arvin, like, right before the cutscene ended and the screen was fading to black, like, suddenly, like, a bunch of my Pokemon and stuff T-posing. Were just, like, on the screen. They weren't T-posing, but they were just, like, there and I could see them. And also, I've had things where, like, a cutscene starts and for some reason, like, one of my Pokemon's Pokeballs is just sitting in the middle of the floor. Like, I had that happen with my, my Toadscruel is in a Dusk Ball, and I used it in the last battle before the cutscene. And then when the cutscene started, there was just a Dusk Ball in the middle of the floor. And I was just like, weren't
prepared for this.
I was like, okay, that's there. And, like, I could tell it wasn't supposed to be there because my character walked right through it. So I was just like, oh.
Listen, I don't know. I feel like Nintendo should be embarrassed.
Yeah.
I think Game Freak should be embarrassed. And I think the Pokemon Company should be embarrassed. Because I've said this to Jared many times already, but, like, this is the first time I've seen reviewers unanimously not kiss ass for once and be like, this game runs like shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they all said it, and it, quite literally everyone is experiencing at least one, if not some sort of issue.
Right.
You know?
Well, I think another thing
that's, and that's worth, with a patch.
Right.
That's with a patch.
Do you think they're gonna keep patching it?
They should.
Let's hope so. I think another thing that's worth mentioning is that in Sword and Shield, they did have a lot of technical issues too. Like that glitch that was corrupting people's saves for a little while. Which is
also happening to people here. People are losing their save data. I don't know how, but they are.
Yeah, for Sword and Shield, it was about the autosave. So if you didn't turn off autosave, it could corrupt your save file. Mm. And then you just wouldn't be able to access it again. That was a big problem for a little while. And then there was the network thing. Like if you connect to the network when you're playing Sword and Shield, for some reason, it would just like make the game run at like 2 frames a second. Like it would just be really, really slow because it would try to load all the trainers that were in the same area as you in the wild area, and they'd all be biking around and all the Pokemon would be there and the game couldn't handle it. So like I think a lot of the same technical issues from Sword and Shield are plaguing this game, but they just didn't even try to resolve them. They're just kind of like, oh well, the last game had these problems, but like we're still gonna try to like make it above and beyond for this game, which is fine. I'm all for them going above and beyond. I think they added a lot of stuff to this game that's really fun. But just make sure it works first.
Yeah.
Like, make sure it runs smooth. Because what
does work works.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, when the game has its shining moments, you're like, this is really good.
Yeah.
But a majority of the time when you're out there exploring, which is what the game is because it's open world, you just can't help but not see these issues.
Another thing that's really clunky is, like...
Writing.
Writing is very clunky, but not even that. I was thinking specifically of, like, the auto-battle feature.
Oh, yeah, they barely listen to you.
They barely listen to you. I had so much fun in Legends Arceus with that because, like, one, the aiming and the throwing the Pokeball felt very smooth. And, like, all the controls of that game... I miss that
you can't do that in this one.
Yeah. All the controls of that game were really, really fine-tuned, and it felt like a completely different experience because no Pokemon game had ever had you, like, throw the Pokeball like that, or like you can send out your Pokemon whenever you want and you could have as many of them out as you want as possible. And the possibilities of that game were like endless in a certain sense because of how they changed certain things, but in this game they kind of limited it again, so you can only send out one Pokemon at a time and you can send it to auto battle, but like it's very linear and sometimes it like runs right past Pokemon that you point at, and sometimes it doesn't even understand what you're trying to point at, and the lock on is very clunky. Sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes you have to be really close for it to lock on. And then the writing is bad. And so you're on your legendary and you're running around, but it's like hard to turn if you're running, and like the jumps feel really bad.
The flying is not.
The flying's flying. Not good. Yeah, you're just gliding. It's very Rouge and Knuckles, but worse.
You fall flat after a few seconds, and it's just like, what's the point?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of technical issues, and I would hope that, I don't know, after this poor of a performance there, I would hope they not necessarily like take Pokemon away from Game Freak, but like maybe let another developer take a stab at it, like at least graphics wise.
I was gonna say they could do also, a collaboration. Like, obviously, Game Freak could still be involved in the process, but they could also hire other like outside, like third party developers or you know,
Monolith designers. Soft is right there. They're right there.
They could definitely improve on.
Y'all work at the same company,
right? So yeah, that's my 2 cents on the thing. Another thing that I will say positively about this is I do really like Rhydon and Rhydon. I think that
I like the Pokemon. Period. The new ones.
Oh yeah, the new Pokemon. This generation of Pokemon are really good.
Yeah,
I'm really happy with it compared to Sword and Shield. Oh. I didn't like a lot of the stuff in Sword and Shield.
We all saw Thwacky.
Yeah, it's definitely a step up design-wise. I just think specifically these legendaries are some of the most... they have the most personality in box legendaries, period. Because usually box legendaries are these big, like, mythical things that you don't see until the very end of the game.
But they're with you this whole time.
Yeah, this is like a companion. This feels like this Pokemon is, like, your friend. And
he's
is
your
trying
dog.
To,
your
yeah.
big pastor future dog.
Right, and he's, like, trying to help you on your adventure, but you're also trying to help him because he has, like, whatever injury or issue that he's had and he's not able to go back to his full power, and you're helping him. So it's, like, this is the most connected I felt to a legendary Pokemon, and I also just really like their designs.
They did something similar with, like, Cosmog and Sun and Moon.
Yeah, you did raise Cosmog, which is nice.
I did appreciate, but I do think in here, it comes off a lot stronger.
It does, yeah. I think my thing with Cosmog was that always felt like more it was Lily's Pokemon than ours. Like, I even named my the Cosmog she gave me as Nebby, because I was like, I'm just keeping its name. It's like Nebby. It's Nebby, yeah. And so I always think of that Cosmog being part of Lily's character, because she was just, like, trying to protect a little Pokemon.
Yeah.
Whereas this is, like, the main character actually is, like, connected to Coridon and Maridon. I love it. But yeah, those are my notes on Scarlet.
Yeah, same here. I think overall, like, I'm having fun. I'm enjoying it. I have a lot of Pokemon. I have a Tinka girl named Tinka Turner. Yeah. What's love got to do with it? I have, like, a lot of Pokemon right now. Like, almost a box full, like, for my party. This is the first time that's ever... Like, I just feel, like, so encouraged to, like, switch it up and everything.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of new possibilities.
Yeah, and they let you play around with that, you know?
And the Terra system is so much more fun than the Dynamax system, in my opinion, just because, like, there's a lot more variety with it. There's 18 types, and your Pokemon can be any type.
Yeah. It's like adding a third type, pretty much.
It's kind of like replacing your two types.
That's, yeah.
But it's just more variety, more fun. And, like, the Dynamax thing got old. Because it's just a big Pokemon. They don't really do much. It's just, I mean, they're overpowered.
We
because
didn't get
all
any
of their
cool
moves.
Cinematic kaiju fight cutscenes in that game. Like, come
on. And then
on.
You only stay Dynamax for 3 turns. And then it runs out. And all your moves are max moves. But, like, it's just, I don't know. It just felt like they wanted to, like, make Z moves but stronger. So they just made them giant. This feels more like unique in the sense that it's still a Pokemon gimmick. They're gonna have one every generation, but the crystal graphics are really pretty sometimes, not always.
Sometimes.
I love the raid battles. They're much faster paced and much more fun.
You're not punished for dying.
The cheer function actually does something in this game versus like in Sword and Shield, 90% of the time it wouldn't do anything. And
I learned that in class, by the way. I didn't know that it would heal and stuff. I thought it was just gonna cheer.
Yeah, no, it actually lets you choose if you want to heal up your attack or up your defense. It's cool.
Going to school, Barbs.
Oh, stay in school. Stay in UVA Academy. Is that
Naranja?
Oh, in yours, it's Naranja. Yeah. But yeah, so I love the Terra system, and I'm farming for poison Terra shards. So if anybody has a poison Terra type raid, please contact me at local_twink, and we will set up a link code so that I can invade your world.
Yeah, which he's got to go to that nice sushi restaurant to do it, so, like, y'all better help him out here. Say hi to my boyfriend, Larry.
Oh, I love the gym leaders. That's another thing. We already talked about the characters, but the gym leaders are so fun in this one.
Larry's, like, my favorite character, and I think that says a lot for about how strong the writing is. because he's just some guy.
Yeah, he's literally,
just some guy, and he's my favorite character.
His whole dialogue is like, oh, I gotta go to work after this. I'm like, oh.
He's like, please, I don't want a pay cut. Make this battle entertaining.
It's like the only realistic Pokemon character. Mm-hmm. Oh my god, yeah. Larry's good.
Yeah, living with Larry.
Yeah. Hey. I also really like the little DJ guy in Team Star.
Oh, but yeah.
Again, Team Star is just more fun than all the other teams that we've had so far. They have a little more personality. I like the little star thing they do.
Each of like the captains have a character behind them too.
Yeah,
they're
it makes
not
sense.
Just there being like we're evil.
Yeah,
we're literally prepared for double.
But the grunts are still kind of just that. They're just there. But like as far as the actual leaders of the team and like the motivations behind it, I totally get it.
Yeah,
like, it's so much more understandable than like some of the other teams they've had over Pokemon history.
Yeah. Well, that about does it for this week, y'all.
Yeah, it's a long-ass episode.
Thanks for listening. I'm not really on Twitter anymore, so follow me on TikTok, I guess, at the Misty Terrain.
Period. I already said Local Twink and Passion Pimp. That's literally me on everything. So if you're interested, send me money. Send me money on Cash App.
Yeah, do that. Let's tip the girls. Okay, bye guys.
Bye.